This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
Good Friday.
It's Good Friday. Sorry. Just finishing off my cocaine.
You're ace to cocaine.
Well, Good Friday, did I say? I mean, a great Friday. No, we don't have any cocaine in the studio.
That's
a terrible habit. And it's frowned on.
Nun's habit, much like Catholicism.
Much
Happy
like
Easter.
Mary's filthy habit of accepting money for sex, sexual favours.
Mary Magdalene.
No, I just knew a girl called Mary. Went to school with her. We all thought, you know, great things were going to happen. And anyway, it's a bit of a sad story. It's Easter. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Nick. How was your Maundy Thursday? What did you do last night?
Bloody Maundy Thursday. If every night was like Maundy Thursday, then I wouldn't be seeing a lot of mornings. I'd be dead. So much cocaine.
Well, that's traditional on Maundy Thursday.
Celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, by visiting all the prostitutes called Mary I know. what a night it was. They all came over, actually. We had a big old...
Last Supper, you had that, didn't you, first?
Last Supper, well, it was delicious. But it wasn't the plate I was licking by the end of it.
Happy Easter!
Happy Eater! That was
that was my favourite restaurant.
That's what they called me last night.
Little chef.
Just little chef. How about average sized chef? Hey, you're in the FUBAR studio. You're joining me, Nick Helm, and Nathaniel Metcalf.
Do you know my name?
I just realised that you should be saying it. What's happened was we were just about to go on air, and then someone opened up a big bag of cocaine, and it's just in the air. It's the dust, and we're just inhaling it. Mm. No, we're anti-drugs. Very much anti-drugs. Well, I'm anti-drugs. Nathaniel's uncle drugs. I'm against narcotics.
Uncle drugs sounds like it could be like a song from a 60s band who aren't very good at covering up things.
Sure.
He's Uncle Drugs.
The new show on Netflix.
Uncle Drugs.
Uncle Drugs. Starring that comedian that's new that you've never heard of. it writes itself from there, really. Anyway, my name's Nick Helm.
And my name's Nathaniel Metcalf.
And you're listening to Nick and
Nathaniel Metcalf's
Fan Club.
We
haven't said this in a while. It's not our fan club.
No.
It's not my. It's not a fan.
That was a visual joke. That
I drank a lot of Pepsi Max just before
Pepsi Max Cherry.
We went on air.
Thank you.
I had a little burp, but I moved away from the camera to do it.
It's like a dramatic pause.
Moved away from the microphone to shield the listener for it, and luckily Nathaniel covered by saying, no. Great content there, guys. Great content.
Professional.
WTF.
That's our new.
Oh no!
That's our new.
That's horrific.
I couldn't believe it was happening. WTF? We've got another couple, but let's get to a genuine WTF moment on this Easter coming live at 12
on Easter Good Friday.
On Good Friday. First rule of fan club is.
Tell your
friends about fan club. Second rule of fan club is please for the love of God. Just tell your friends. I genuinely don't believe some of you are telling your friends.
Not all your friends.
Nah. I mean, to be fair, it is a very
niche
show, and I am sort of anticipating that a lot of our listeners don't actually have any friends, and that's fine. And that's what me and Nat are here to do, to step in and be your
surrogate
audio friends. Do you know what? Neither of us have an awful lot going on, so if you were to see us in the street, we would possibly, you know, pass the time with you. So there's always that. Then you don't really get that service from a lot of other podcasts, do you? They're just in and out, and then they ask for likes and subscribes, and we would never do that.
Some ask for money as well.
Some ask for fucking money. But hey, you like that shit that I just said out of my mouth? Then be my Patreon, and I do not agree with that at all. You know, they're asking for sometimes like £1, £2, £5, £10, £100, £1,000, whatever you can spare, please send it in. That's what they're saying. That's not what we're saying. You know, if you were to send money into the FUBAR Radio Studio, just to sort of like keep it going, me and Nat get paid very little for doing the 2 hours a week. We actually get paid the exact same that we got paid for doing the 1 hour a week. And then we got
extended.
They said, hey, the show's doing really well. It's doing gangbusters. Let's boost you up for an hour. I saw you do that face there, Natalie. I said the show is doing gangbusters, and she sort of like cocked her head in a way and grimaced in a way that was like, well, it's not really doing gangbusters. But you've never given us the figures, and I think it's because they're either so high that you didn't want it to get to our heads. But I'm suspecting now it might be the opposite. It might be the opposite. It's just two guys talking in a room
to themselves, to each other.
To each other. Oh, anyway, I was in the middle of a flow there, and
like a rapper.
I can't remember what it was.
We're talking about donations.
Oh God, so many donations can be pouring into other. They didn't increase our salary for doing this show. So,
send us some money.
I don't know if you go all the way back. If you go all the way back to the first show with Joel Tommett, aka Jack Barry. If you go all the way back to that, that was only an hour.
That's a very good Jack Barry impression, Joel Tommett. Very good.
Really, I mean, he can only do the one.
Sure, but he does it well.
He does it really well. Joel Tommett can only do the one impression, and it's of Jack Barry, but. In that instance, it would have really helped because it was radio that he'd have just spoken in his own voice. It was the first, the flagship episode. Anyway, we boosted it up to 2 hours, and you just assume that you're going to get paid twice as much. But no, you get paid per slot, apparently. Oh, estimated time of arrival. I've got a delivery coming to my new flat. So. I got quite a telling off a few weeks ago from John Robin treating bacon on.
Oh yeah.
On thing, but so I've given it up, and now I'm eating lettuce.
That's good, because now you're not eating bacon. You're eating lettuce, ham, and chicken.
Well, I'm just eating lettuce now.
Yeah. Lettuce entertain you for the next 1 hour and 52 minutes.
52 minutes. We're rattling through it this week. can you please message us in and tell us what you're planning to do for Easter? I was it's so partridge, isn't it? What I was saying, I don't really like chocolate.
No, and you don't like eggs.
I love chocolate, actually, but I love chocolate too much. I hate eggs. Eggs are just absolutely repulsive and repellent to me. And people that eat eggs, I find it difficult dealing with that. Mm. It's a process that I have to go through. I just think that they're ghastly. Chocolate, I love too much.
You've got to stay away from it.
I'm all or nothing with chocolate. So there's that. So what I tend to do for Easter is what I do. Is you know the plastic shells that you get that surround an Easter egg?
Sure.
The plastic moulds that yeah. protect the Easter eggs. What I do is I get one of them and I pack it with lamb. And I every Easter I have a lamb egg. It's just solid lamb. It's not like a shell of lamb.
No.
Solid lamb. It's very much similar to eating on in the end of a banister. Eating the knob of a banister. Just dried out lamb. That's what.
Well, it's quite appropriate to the season. Sure.
That's why. Nah.
Yeah.
That's why I picked lamb.
No, that's what I mean.
I mean, you saying that's appropriate to the season, that's sort of like...
gilding the lily.
Well, it's pointing at the fucking obvious.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Easter. Abby Titmus. We should get her on.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It is a movable feast, though, Easter, isn't it?
It is, literally.
Oh, let's not fucking talk about Easter. This is a pre-record 3 weeks in advance.
4 weeks. Easter's very late this year.
We're not fucking in a studio on Easter. Of course not. Easter's the most important day of the year for me.
We're in church.
I'm in church. Up a prostitute called Mary. I'm not. Although there's nothing wrong with that. It's 2019. So here we go. Now we're off. I don't really know how to start this episode.
Well, we could say, what have we been a fan of?
What have you been a fan of this last week?
Tell you what I've been a fan of this week, Easter week. Is the film The Wild Geese. Have you seen The Wild Geese?
Yeah, The Wild Geese. I think, yeah. So The Wild...
we'll say it being a... I really enjoyed it. I couldn't tell you if it's good or not.
Oh, The Wild Geese is not a good film. The Wild Geese is a terrible film.
I enjoyed it.
But The Wild Geese is, I suppose, it's Easter lunch. And what bird are we going to have? Let's eat some wild geese. So, who directed The Wild Geese?
I think it's one of the guys who does the Bond films of that era. I can't remember his name. I think it's called Andrew. It's like late 70s.
So late 70s. So it stars Richard Burton.
Richard Burton.
Richard Harris. And Roger Moore.
Roger Moore.
And was there another Wild Goose?
There's lots of Wild Geese, but they're the three main...
They're the three main ones.
Three main ones.
It's confusing because there's the sequel that has other people of that
ilk. I've not seen the sequel. I quite fancy it now.
Has the sequel got Michael Caine in it?
It might be. No, I think you might be thinking The Eagle Has Landed.
No, I'm not thinking of that. That's the one with Clint Eastwood in it, isn't it?
Maybe that is that one. Maybe that is what. Maybe
isn't The Eagle Has Landed the one on the fucking what do you call the fucking thing?
I know exactly
the
what you mean. Is that Eagle Has Landed? Maybe that is.
And that's Richard Burton and Clint Eastwood, isn't it?
It might be. Yeah, is that one Eagle Has Landed? Which one am I thinking of? What's the one with the Nazis invade the UK?
Nazis invade the UK. Aren't you thinking of the boys from Brazil?
They're all the same. They're all basically the same.
What's going on here?
Throwing things on your screen.
Oh, right. Oh, there we go.
1976 British film directed by John Sturges and starring Michael. Well, what the fuck am I thinking of?
What's the one Clint Eastwood?
I know what you mean. He's wearing like a white parka.
Yes, I know what you mean. You mean Andrew V. McLaglen directed.
What? Where Eagles Dare?
Where Eagles Dare. Of course it is.
Of course it is, yeah. So, right, okay.
These are all very similar films.
I've got to say, Natalie, when you're pressing that button, you're cutting yourself off. It's almost like you're pressing it and it cuts you off when you talk, and then when you take it off, I can hear you drinking tea. Are you sure there's not a problem that you're on? No, I can't hear you now. No. But press the button and talk to me. I can hear you now. What you're doing is you're doing it wrong. What you're doing is you're talking and then pressing the button and then taking it off just as you get to the end of the sentence. It's a rookie error, but one that you really need to correct yourself on. So we listened to Nick and Nat's Fan Club on Fubar Radio. It's Easter weekend. The weekend has landed. The eagle has landed.
The Easter has landed.
So, right, so...
So, right, we've got to get these. So these are all...
So British film directed by John Sturges, starring Michael Caine, Donald Sutherland and Robert Duvall.
This is the fella.
As I call him, Robert Duvet, because whenever I watch a film with him, it feels like a gentle, warm hug from an old friend who's in a duvet. So, Natalie, can you just tell us who was in Wild Geese 2? Also the Wild Geese 1. Give us the information on Wild Geese 1 and Wild Geese 2. Let's do it. If you're just tuning in, we are going to get in-depth to the Wild Geese.
Well, I guess these are all men on a mission films, aren't they?
Yes.
So that's what we could talk about. This
What's the one with Donald Sutherland and Clint Eastwood? Kelly's Heroes.
Yeah. That's another one. Dirty Dozen. The Wild Geese.
The Ridiculous Six. man, what a movie.
This is
Patrick Stewart. Patrick Stewart as a Russian general. Make it so. Make it. Be better if he was. I don't know any Russian.
No, but Nyet.
Make it Nyet.
Yes.
Make it schnell. That'd be if he was a German. Okay, so The Wild Geese 1, starring Richard Burton, Roger Moore, Richard Harris, Stuart Granger.
Yes, he's the sort of baddie. He's a baddie, isn't it? Frank Finlay, Barry Foster, yeah.
David Ladd.
Patrick Allen.
And Wild Geese 2, oh, God, no, Scott Glenn. Scott Glenn is the guy that I always mistake for David Carradine.
Oh, yeah, I totally see that.
Barbara Carrera.
I don't know, Barbara Carrera.
Edward Fox, Laurence Olivier, bloody hell. Did he know?
Oh,
great stuff. Laurence Olivier, of course, the worst actor that ever lived. I do think... Which Bond film was Barbara Carrera in?
I don't know.
Look it up. God, we don't know anything this week.
No.
Never Say Never Again. Never Say Never Again. Which is obviously not an official Bond movie.
No.
Never say never again. Never say never again. If I sing for more than 5 seconds, that bit will be cut out of the show. on the podcast. This microphone is very loose. Barbara Carrera. Is she any relation to Tia Carrera, or is it just a coincidence? We'll never know. Anyway, so The Wild Geese.
The Wild Geese. Starts off, Richard Burton.
Who directed it?
Andrew, was it V? V McLagan, was it? Andrew V. McLaglan, I think his name is.
Okay.
Well, and he directed lots of kind of Roger Moore era Bond films around the time as well.
So what year was the... Oh, God, come on.
I think it's 78.
Where's the fucking info, Nat? I mean, we can't type and talk. It's literally, you knew that. I wrote it on my CV. I'm not a multitasker. I can barely, you know... sorry, I just took the lid off of Pepsi, proving my own point. 1982.
1985, Wild Geese.
Was Wild Geese 2... What's Wild Geese 1? We're clearly not asking about Wild Geese. 1978? What? And then 7 years later, they made a sequel starring Laurence Olivier. Fucking hell. There's that whole era of male leading actor, where they were all fucked. It was just like, it's over, guys. It's really over. Laurence Olivier playing, starring fifth on the cast list. In the belated sequel to the semi-hit Wild Geese. So go on, tell us about Wild Geese. I've got some facts about Wild Geese that I...
When was it released in South Africa? That's what I want to know.
Do they go into South Africa and invade?
They do, but I'm just interested where it might be. What the South African release date of Wild Geese movie? 28th of June, 1978. In the Wild Geese, so Richard Burton... Richard Burton.
Was it set in South Africa?
It's set in like an African country, which doesn't feel like a real country.
Right.
Richard Burton is brought in, and he's asked, he doesn't want to, he's a retired colonel, so doesn't want to doesn't want to get back into it. Whereas they give him lots of money to form a group to go in and basically kidnap the general of a fictional African country to sort of smuggle him out.
Same plot as Expendables.
Yeah, yeah, exactly the same. Basically, very similar films, really.
No, because because Expendables has a plot where you go, yeah, I absolutely can see how that's going to play out. And then it almost stubbornly refuses to make the film that they promised to make. The Expendables is fucking insane, where you've got... Jason Statham's available this week, so Stallone and Statham go on a fact-finding mission to the island that they're going to invade a bit later. So they go, take some photos, and then they come back again, and you go, well, why are they going back and forth? Why are they going back and forth? They need to get on the island, then they'd be trapped on the island, and then they need to fight for their lives.
To get off the island.
To get off the island, like Predator. You put, like, a bunch of big guys in the jungle, they're all expendable, and they get killed and, you know, they all have, like, their moment. And then by the end of it, there's, like, a ragtag group of guys that have got through it all. The Expendables plot is so complicated purely because they weren't all available on the same days that you just go, it's insane, the Expendables 1. Expendables 2 slightly better. Expendables 3, the most coherent of the three. Still awful. But I like it the most. But, like, fucking... So that's what I always found annoying.
Well, I suppose this is the film as it's supposed to be done, albeit one which is not...
Really boring.
Not the most successful film.
And you don't want to see these actors doing these things in this. Richard Burton, Roger Moore and Richard Harris.
Starts off, the three main stars, Richard Harris, Richard Burton, Roger Moore... So when Richard Burton starts forming the team, his number one choice, and I'm going to go for fourth, it's Sean Flynn. And you go, right, Sean Flynn. And you think immediately, well, it'll be Richard Harris, won't it? The Irishman Richard Harris. of the three stars of it, you know, it's going to cut to Harris doing something. Burton's going to come in and recruit him.
Instead, it cuts to Roger Moore's sweaty face as he's bearing down on a woman a third of his age.
Pretty much. And it's like, hello, I'm the Irishman Sean Flynn.
Hello, I'm Sean Flynn. I'm terribly sorry. I'm up to me nuts in guts.
You see, that's pretty much.
I think I'm attempting anal. yeah, good old Roger Moore.
Roger Moore. And you've got... And I think Richard Harris' character, he's called...
The name's Flynn. Sean Flynn.
And you sort of... He basically comes in and his first big action scene is...
Lock up your daughters. Sean Flynn's in the house. It's not the best Roger Moore impression.
No, it's good. It's a fun one.
It's a fun one. Just fun to talk like that, isn't it?
He makes a drug dealer eat some...
A child's Christmas in Wales. I'm Richard Burton. A child's Christmas in War of the Worlds. I'm Richard Burton. Not great, Richard it's not Burton.
But it sounds like something. It's got something.
Sounds like it's on... Make it so. It's no Patrick Stewart, which is, I think we'd all agree... Is he in the room?
Is he in the room?
I'm Richard Burton's. What size is your inner leg? What's your inner leg measurement? And your waist? And what's your chest? And what shirt size do you wear around the neck? Certainly, sir. We'll have that ready for you in 2 weeks. It's Richard Burton's.
Another one of our characters.
Another character. There he is.
Natalie's given us another Eagle film. Iron Eagle.
On the attack. Well, of course, Alice Cooper did the theme tune for Iron Eagle 3.
I didn't know there was an Iron Eagle 3.
Oh, there's all of them, mate.
That's
four, so carry on with this. Carry on. Well, go on, Wild Geese. What have you got to say about Wild Geese? No, because I've got stuff to say, but I realise that
they've got the character who's one of the wild geese is a gay wild goose who is seen as very very stereotypical gay character, but he's also seen as very brave, which shocks them all.
Shocks them all.
They're all going to make a lot of money, of course, and they say, "What are you going to spend the money on?" to the gay character, and he goes, "Oh, I think I'll give mine to the proctologist." He goes, "What's that?" He goes, "Oh, my bum doctor," he says on camera. And he goes, "I mean, I don't think anyone's ever said this." As if that's what he would do with his money.
Why would he give it
to... I don't know.
He's got a bum doctor who's obviously a professional.
Yeah, that's who he's got to give his money to.
He studied, like, what, 8 years at medical school? To get
he's probably
to
got
point.
A lot of money.
He's not a male prostitute. No, he doesn't have to pay the bum doctor to look at his bum. And this is how warped the films of the 1970s were. The name's Moore. Roger Moore.
It's a bizarre film.
I am also a bum doctor. Is there a doctor in the house? I'm a doctor. A bum doctor.
Someone's having a heart attack on a plane. Well, I'm a bum doctor.
Perhaps I can be of assistance. I'm a bum doctor. What sort of a doctor are you? Hang on a minute. This woman's having a heart attack. Is there a doctor on the plane? I'm a doctor. Oh, thank God. Can you help resuscitate this woman? I'll certainly give it a go. What are you doing? What kind of a doctor are you? I'm a bum doctor. Nine dead. My favourite fact about the wild geese is that, and this is, like, Roger Moore was, when he died, there were all these stories that came out about what a legend he was and how nice he was and all of that stuff. And then there was that David Bowie story which painted him to be a real ruddy prick.
I've not heard that.
Oh, really? Mm. There was, I really love Roger Moore. Roger Moore is my James Bond. It's a series of films that I care very little about, and I'm still kind of, like, bewildered that they're making them. In a world of, I mean, the fact that the James Bond franchise survived Terminator 2. Do you know what I mean? It's just like once you've seen what other franchises can do, and you go, you're still making James Bond films. It's fucking crazy. Roger Moore was on TV when I was growing up. I think that's basically, it's not who's the best, it's who was on telly the most.
No, and also he's one of those people that when you see him, you go, I do like him. I like he's one of those actors who does that thing where when they go, oh, what's your secret? And he's always like, well, I can't act, I'm just very lucky. He's one of those people, and I always like those people who just go, I'm actually quite terrible, just because I'm quite good looking. I got lots of parts. He does that thing, you go, yeah.
It's basically what I did on The Saint, but for more money. I like Pierce Brosnan as well. I like Timothy Dalton. I think they're all quite likable people. Mm. Not Sean Connery, but I like them all. Anyway, so David Bowie goes to he's like holidaying in the Alps. I think he's got a ski lodge in the Alps. And he goes up there, and lo and behold, his neighbour is Roger Moore. And Roger Moore is famous, and David Bowie's famous, and Roger Moore pops over, and he comes in to David Bowie's chalet and introduces himself and says, I'm Roger Moore. And you are? I'm David Bowie. I can do them all, but I won't for the purposes of just getting through the story. Play with your toys, Sarah. Forget about the babe. Labyrinth. So it's Easter. It's Easter. Where's the card game? Where's the card game? Of course it's Easter. It's the time for games, family, fun. That's it. And lamb eggs. So, what? Oh, God, it just sounds disgusting. So Roger Moore comes around David Bowie's house and he says, hello, how are you doing? And David Bowie goes, oh, that's great. Do you want to come in for a drink? And Roger Moore goes in and proceeds to drink or smoke his cigars, drink all of David Bowie's brandy and just regale him with anecdote after anecdote about, you know, the life of Roger Moore. And David
Sounds
Bowie
great.
Goes, this is incredible. This is brilliant. He goes, all right, see you later. And Roger Moore goes back to his chalet. And then the next day, Roger Moore knocks on the door and David Bowie is like, oh, it's Roger Moore. And so Roger Moore comes in and goes, hello, David. And he sits down and he proceeds to smoke cigars, drink all of David Bowie's alcohol and just regale him with the same anecdotes from the day before. And David Bowie's like, oh, okay, that's fine. All right. And then they get to the end of the night and Roger Moore goes back. And then the next day, Roger Moore knocks on his door, comes in, smokes cigars, drinks all of David Bowie's alcohol and tells him the same anecdotes again, right? And Roger Moore's like, and David Bowie's like going, fucking hell, what do I do? It's Roger Moore. How do I get rid of him? And then it happens like for a week and then eventually Roger Moore knocks on the door and David Bowie hides underneath the table and pretends to not be in. That's the story. But I think it's kind of like, I can't remember whose death it came out after. It was probably David Bowie. And it was just like, look at David Bowie sticking his finger up at the old guard. And you go, oh, I don't know if I like that story. I don't know if I like David Bowie enough to enjoy him. Make it. I mean, it must be conflicting for you.
No, I think it's quite funny.
You love
I like
both.
The idea of both of them going in. I like the idea of him hiding from him so he won't hear the same story again. I like Roger Moore, but I imagine there is a time when you'd go, I've seen you enough now, Roger.
No, I don't think. Well,
yeah. Hearing the same stories, if he's coming back.
Yeah.
Roger Moore, there's that book, isn't there, where he wrote a book for one of the Bond films that you always sort of see. I've never read it, but you often see people often post like little highlights of it. And it's a book I think he made when he was making something like Live and Let Die or one of them. And it's basically like a little book, kind of for kids, I think, like a little kind of cash-in book about like what was happening when he was making Live and Let Die or one of his films.
Like a behind-the-scenes book?
Yeah, kind of like a behind-the-scenes book. But it's all like stories of like Roger Moore on the set going, so I had a stunt to do, but of course I'd been eating some prawns the night before, so I just shat myself. So it's all like that, but as James Bond. And there's a bit where like he goes mental because it's that thing where he's like, he's obviously very starry, but he's doing this thing where he's like,
but of
saying,
course, I've eaten some prawns the night before, so I just shat myself. I mean,
and there's one where he goes mad because his hairdresser hasn't been flown out to Jamaica. And he's like, but I need my haircut, and he's like, we're not paying to have it yet. We'll just get a hairdresser from Jamaica to do it. He's like, oh, I want my hairdresser flown out at a cost of a million. So it's all that. He's like, it's that thing where he's not really coming across well, but at the same time, you're going, no, stick by your guns. You're James Bond, why not?
Oh, I'd love to read this book.
Yeah, I would. But it's like, whenever you see him, he's like, oh, wow, why do you think you've been asked to play James? He goes, well, I don't know, I'm a coward. And one of those guys, he goes, like, well, I wouldn't do that, imagine that. I'd be it beat me to a pulp. I wouldn't do that. This idea that he's sort of this action hero, but is totally kind of ill-equipped to be the character he's playing.
Yeah.
Well, it sort of becomes the fun thing about it.
He didn't really have to do a lot of like stunt work, did he?
No, and I guess he removed a lot of that kind of sort of actual kind of physical combat.
He mainly survives by judo chopping people. Well, the thing I like most about Roger Moore in The Wild Geese is that he was in a film with Richard Burton and Richard Harris, and he just by his own admission was not a talented actor. I love Roger Moore, and so what he would do in The Wild Geese was he'd be in a scene with Richard Harris and Richard Burton, and this is unheard of, right? Amongst actors, and he would just go, well, just give them my lines. And he would literally, there's so many scenes in The Wild Geese where there's the three of them and it's Richard Burton and Richard Harris like having his argument, and Roger Moore stood right bang centre screen, not saying anything, just sort of like watching them talking like it's a tennis match. And he was just like, they're much more talented than me, why wouldn't you? and I just think that's a really kind of like,
I think that's it. I think he's one of those actors that if you haven't got that ego, these jobs are just like holidays for you.
Yeah.
You just get to hang out with these guys. And you're not that bothered. It's like, would you want to say this? Because I just don't have left to do. So it's good for me.
It's absolutely fine for me. I'm already Roger Moore.
And I'm already getting paid loads to do this. I've been paid.
And I'm not James bothered. Bond. So and you're Richard Harris and you're Richard Burton.
Yeah.
So you can probably... you can probably carry this a bit better than me. I just thought it was really nice. My favourite bit in The Wild Geese is the bit when there's an attack, isn't there? There's like a hand grenade attack on Richard Harris. He lives in like a flat.
Yes.
And he's in his hallway in the flat and somebody throws a grenade at him. And so he picks up the grenade and punches a hole through a door and drops the grenade on the other side, and then the grenade blows up and he's safe. And you go, you just punched a hole in the door that you are now using as a shield to protect you from a grenade blast, right? The door isn't strong enough to withstand your fist, right? Let alone an explosion. And it's kind of like, but it's like, it's portrayed as completely logical, but he just picks up this grenade, punches it through a door, and then the grenade blows up on the other side of the door. It's just like, it's made of polystyrene, mate. You're dead. That's my favourite.
It is a fun watch.
It's fairly fun. It is badly dated, and
it's very dated.
But even by like a couple of years ago, before everything was dated, it was dated. You know, I don't know. It's one of those films where I like it. I like the idea of it, and I like scenes in it. But it's overall quite.
Sure. I would watch it again, for sure.
I'd watch it again, but I'd probably watch it in 3 or 4 instalments.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I think if you watch it all in one go, it's like, oh, I'd watch it at a screening.
Yeah.
But watching it at home is a bit of a slog with all the distractions. I'm going to play a song now and then talk about something else. As it's Easter, we've got a bit of a...
Easter treat.
It's Herod's song. From Jesus Christ Superstar, sung by Alice Cooper.
Jesus, I am overjoyed to meet you face to face. You've been getting quite a name all around the place. Healing cripples, cute trick. Raising from the dead, ooh. Oh, and now I understand you're God. Well, at least that's what you said. So you are the Christ, you're the great Jesus Christ. Prove to me that you're divine. Change my water into wine. That's all you need do, and I know it's all true. Come on, King of the Jews. Jesus, you just won't believe the hit you've made round here. You're all we talk about, the wonder of the year. Oh, what a pity if it's all a lie. Still, I'm sure that you can rock the cynics if you try. So you are the Christ, you're the great Jesus Christ. Prove to me that you're no fool. Walk across my swimming pool. If you do that for me, then I'll let you go free. Star, what is it that you have got that puts you where you are? Oh, I am waiting. Yes, I'm a captive fan. I'm dying to be shown that you are not just any man. So if you are the Christ, yes, the great Jesus Christ, feed my household with his bread. You could do it on your head. Or is something gone wrong? Why do you take so long? Mr. Wonderful Christ, you're a take him away. He's got nothing to say. Get out, you king of the, get out, you king of the, get out, you king of the Jews. Get out of here. You're gonna have to do better than that, boy.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
WTF?
There's one for one of each.
That's what. That's one. There's three apparently.
So how's Alice Cooper doing? Jesus Christ Superstar. Where do you stand on Jesus Christ Superstar, Nick? I couldn't predict whether you'd be a fan of the musical or not a fan.
I've never seen it.
Never seen it.
I like musicals. I'm not averse. Some people hate musicals.
Would you call that a rock opera? Would you? Would that be a rock opera?
I don't know. I've never seen it. I think it is a rock opera. I think that's what it's meant to be. I don't have a problem with musicals. I like a lot of musicals. Sound of Music is one of my favourite films. Wizard of Oz.
That's like a vaudeville sound, though, for that.
Is Wizard of Oz a musical? Is it a film that's got a few songs in it?
I'd say it's a musical. I don't think it's based on a stage musical, though. It's a film exclusive. An MGM musical.
It's because it was Technicolor, wasn't it? And I think back then it was kind of like, oh, if you're going to make a film, this is what you need to do. Mm. He'd put songs in it, and he'd put loads of dancing, munchkins, and sex parties.
Because The Wizard of Oz, it's 30s, isn't it? So it's very early.
Was it 1933, I think?
Yeah.
Maybe it's 31.
Yeah, if you think of other things, like even those kind of Laurel and Hardy movies from the time that try that, they're all got songs in once, as soon as they go to...
Marx Brothers. I mean, the Marx Brothers movies, the action stops dead, and then Zeppo comes along and sings the song, and just everything just screeches to a halt, and it goes, fucking hell. Even when Harpo and Chico sort of like do their piano. So basically, the Marx Brothers films, there were five Marx Brothers. There was the main three. There was Groucho, Chico, Harpo. Who was the other one? There was Zeppo, but who was the other one?
Groucho.
Gumbo? Gummy. Gummo. Gummo. You keep saying four, but I know that there were more, but they didn't make the they weren't in the films. They were in the stage act. And they were like a... They were vaudeville comedians. Basically, Groucho Marx was really hardworking, and Chico liked gambling, and Harpo... I'm reading his biography at the moment, but...
Harpo's?
Well, Harpo's called Harpo because he played the harp.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise that until I started watching him. Harpo is the best. Chico is the second best. Groucho Marx. His material's dated quite a bit, surprisingly. Here he is.
Harpo Marx
is in the house, but he doesn't talk. Oh, that's good. He's, yeah. Those were the Marx Brothers, and then Zeppo was like the good-looking one, who's like the matinee idol.
Yes.
And you watch it, and they go, "There's four Marx Brothers," and you can watch the films and not realise. You go, "I can only count three. I can only see three." And the fourth one was kind of like the one that was meant to get
the girl.
There'd have to be like a romantic subplot, and then there'd be musical interludes, and they were like based on the vaudeville act. They'd kind of like, it was like a variety show, and then Chico would come along and play the piano, and Chico playing the piano is the Marx Brothers movies are brilliant. And Chico playing the piano is one of the funniest things that, I was laughing. I watched all of the films about a year ago, and I was laughing at them to the point that tears were rolling down my eyes. And that's not like an exaggeration. That's just like something. It like completely surprised me how much I love those films. And Harpo, fucking hell, he does this thing. I think it's in The Coconuts, but he does this thing. It's the one when they're all on a boat. I can't remember. Oh, is it Monkey Nuts? He does this thing where he's going through passport control, and it's insane. It's just like, but it's like crazy to the point that I was sort of like watching it in just absolute disbelief. And it's this film that's like 90 years old, and it was just one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And it's such, I think it's a shame, because there are a lot of They're just one of those. They're still good, you know, but people will. People just won't go back and watch them. They'll get to a point where people will stop watching them. You know, we talk about this sort of stuff because we've watched them and we've gone out and we're kind of like interested in stuff in a, on a historical level, I think. And then because we're interested in watching films on a historical level and like, you know, going through someone's career, like I went through all of Brian De Palma's films recently and I ended up watching a load of films. I've started watching a load of Hitchcock films that I've never seen before because you go... I think anyone that wants to sort of... I don't know, because...
You tend to get a funny... When you just see what's given to you, I think you get a funny idea. So you go, oh, yeah, well, I know Hitchcock. I've seen Rear Window and Psycho and Vertigo. So I get it, I get it. And then you go, yeah, what about all these other ones? It's that sort of idea that you get a better idea of someone's career, don't you, and what they do, I think, if you... Try and sort of dig a bit deeper.
I think that because I get overwhelmed by stuff. What I found interesting, because this is a pre-record, but what I found interesting about John Robbins coming on was that he was saying that it was kind of the average, he was talking about Mark Kermode and Simon Mayo, and he was like, Simon Mayo is kind of like your entry point, and Mark Kermode is
the expert.
And I don't really. The way I see it, I'm not interested in football. I don't hate football, but I'm not interested in football. I'm not interested in watching sport. I'm not interested really in doing sport. but this is my equivalent of that. It's kind of people that know like who won every World Cup and who was playing. You know.
I watched Question of Sport the other day, and I couldn't. The answers people were getting, I was watching it, just blew my mind that people knew that much. And to me, it's like it is the equivalent of being sort of knowing lots of stuff about obscure culture. Because to me, these questions seem like that's impossible. No one can do that. Who's this sportsman from their elbow? It's like, come on. And they just know. And I go, that's what it is. It's sort of sport's got this weird thing of being slightly like different from other things. It's like, well, it's all right to know about sport. And it's like, but it's mad. It's like, what, you're recognizing someone by an elbow. That's crazy that you know this stuff.
But I've been, and I think you, but like if I was, this is just a natural interest that I haven't cultivated, that hasn't been kind of like, I always think that if I had the same interest in science and languages as I did in movie trivia, I'd have done much better at school because I know so much and I've effortlessly learned loads. But then when you have like a guy like, I guess like Jim Hoskins coming in, and you and him are talking about all these films that are so obscure that even I've not even heard of them. That makes me go, well, I want to see these films as well. And I kind of like, I've got a hunger to learn stuff. And like some of my favourite books growing up was stuff like Bob Balaban's Behind the Scenes Diary of The Making of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And all of that behind and the stuff that I choose to watch is kind of like behind the scenes documentaries about, and I genuinely think that Pierce Brosnan, the man, the myth, the movie documentary on the Robin Hood Prince of Thieves is one of my favourite things that I've ever seen. Like it's like my favourite episode of a sitcom. You know, you'd go, I just think that that's such a brilliant, terrible, misjudged behind the scenes. Feature, and I think that so what I learned from John coming in, because he doesn't really seem to be kind of like a film fan, like he's a casual, he would watch a film but he would watch other stuff, and I think that from that it made me feel like it's a little bit maybe indecipherable, that if you're outside of it you can't, there's no entry point. But what I would say that if you are listening and you know, I don't know, I think some people listen to it because they like us chatting, and some people just feel like sometimes it can be funny. and then I think some people listen because of maybe the movie references, and then some people can't really get into that sort of stuff. And if you're a returning listener and you don't know really where to begin because there's so many films out there, and you want to kind of like experience more. Then what I would do is I would pick a filmmaker, even if it's someone like Spielberg or Martin Scorsese or Francis Ford Coppola or like one of the big guys, and then I would just watch all of their films, and then you pick an actor that you liked in one of them, and then you just watch all of their films, and then it's sort of like a little, you know,
it's a fun thing.
It's like a month project that you give yourself where you just watch, and then through that then you'll get a better understanding, you'll get a bigger understanding of other people's careers and how it works, and then you'll find out historical connections. Like you go through Steven Spielberg and then Martin Scorsese, and then you get to Brian De Palma, and then Brian De Palma you get to Dario Argento, I think, and then it kind of like opens up the world and stuff like that. And then and I always really loved like the Universal horror movies, and I didn't like them because I thought they were good films, and I didn't like them because I thought, oh, that's a great director. I like them because I like Frankenstein's monster and the Wolfman, and I like those characters, and I think that they're cool, and I don't think there's anything deeper to it than that. I'm not intellectual about it. It's just like either I like something or I don't like something. I mean, I watched Marnie last night, the Alfred Hitchcock film. And it's Alfred Hitchcock, Tippi Hedren, Sean Connery. Shit. I hated it. It wasn't that I hated it. I just found it incredibly boring, right? And the thing about Marnie is that it's a film about a woman who steals a load of money.
Oh, this is dated in terms of the now.
No, I mean, politically, it's just incredibly misogynistic, and it's about a woman that was sexually and physically abused by her dad or her father, stepfather, when she was a girl. And Sean Connery's trying to work out why she doesn't want to sleep with men. It's baffling. Why doesn't she want to sleep with men? I think at one point he rapes her. But it's not like portrayed as rape. It's portrayed as kind of like Sean Connery conquering her. It's just that it's a troubling film by today's standards. But even just on its own, I think it's just a boring film. And before you get to that plot point where it's all about like her relationship with men, before you get to that, it's about a woman that steals a load of money and escapes. And then this boring plot emerges, and you just think that's the same plot as Psycho, except the most interesting thing that happens in that is that the Tippi Hedren character from Marnie gets killed, and then it goes off. You're like, so I think Psycho came first, and then he made Marnie.
Yeah.
And you go, you knew that. You knew that Psycho had kind of like a generic B movie plot, which was a woman steals some money and legs it. And you knew that wasn't enough to make a film over, because that is your kind of like decoy plot. And then Norman Bates kills her, and then it's about Norman Bates. And Marnie's basically the decoy plot from Psycho just played out, and it's just really unpleasant. And
well, it's another thing, isn't it? Sort of examining some sort of pseudo kind of psychoanalytical thing. So it's like, it's almost like case studies. It's like some people are like this and some people are like this, based on some sort of kind of psychoanalytical way of looking at characters, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I guess it's just another one like Norman Bates.
But you watch what's interesting about this documentary, so there's like a really big Alfred Hitchcock box set. I mean, he made so many films. I mean, there's an Alfred Hitchcock box set which has got all of his classics on.
Yeah.
And then there's another box set which has got some of his lesser-known classics on. And then there's another box set which has got all of the British films that he made before he made it big in America. And so there's so many to get through. They're not all good. That's the thing.
No, they're not.
The ones that are good are fucking incredible.
They often have their moments, but there's some that really aren't very good. Man Who Knew Too Much, have you seen that one?
Boring.
Oh, that's one of the best ones.
What, with Que Sera Sera?
Yeah.
Oh.
Loved it.
Mind you, I haven't seen it in a very, very long time. Is that James Stewart and Doris Day?
Yeah.
But that's where the fucking song Que Sera Sera comes from. And you go, oh, right.
It's very out of place, to be fair.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of an Alfred Hitchcock thriller.
It's like vaudeville, like what we were just talking about. Yeah. And you go, oh, right.
It just starts doing
that. Let's just keep them entertained. We've got Doris Day.
And it's within the first 10 minutes, so you could be watching it going, is this a musical? Is this a musical?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that that's one of my favourite... Not one of my favourites. I found it quite boring, but... But when he's good, he's like all time good. But that's the thing. It is possible to go and to watch a film. And fine, you've been told all your life that Alfred Hitchcock, for instance, because he's sort of like one of the most famous directors, but you're told all your life that Alfred Hitchcock is the greatest director that ever lived, and you've got to watch it, and then you watch an Alfred Hitchcock film, and and you're bored, and you don't like it, and then you go, well, it must be me. Or you go, well, they're wrong. But he made like 150 films, and I would say 10% of them are all-time classics. And then you get in between, you get stuff like Torn Curtain. Within his own life, like by the time he was making, so when did Francois Truffaut? I mean, this is really Ponzi, but so Francois Truffaut? Did we talk about this the other week?
No.
Francois Truffaut basically created the French New Wave cinema thing. He did what were those films? He did Jules et Jim.
He did 400 Blows. He did. What else was Truffaut?
I get him mixed up with Fellini.
Oh no, I often do with.
But I've never seen any Fellini. What I have looked at a lot is that box set of Fellini that I bought that's sat by on my shelf that I've never even looked at.
But it's the intent, isn't it?
I've got it. It's on my list, and it's going like one day I'm going to get through that Fellini box set.
Yeah, good.
Francois Truffaut, who was in. Close Encounters of the Third. That's Fan Club. But Francois Truffaut, basically, he was like the enfant terrible,
yeah.
Which is means a terrible infant.
Mm-hmm. Terrible children.
He was like this new guy that came along, and everyone was like, "Oh my god, this Francis Truffaut is the future." And he came along and he said, do you know who's really good? And everyone's like, who? Tell us. And he goes, Alfred Hitchcock. And everyone's like, fuck off, is Alfred Hitchcock good? He goes, no, he's really good.
He's got a TV show. He's like a sort of, they see it. I think he was seen at the time as being a bit of a kind of, a bit too showman-y.
Hacky. Well, he had three films left in him, apparently. And then he wrote this, he did this huge interview with him and wrote this massive book about him, about Truffaut wrote about Hitchcock. And basically, he reintroduced Hitchcock to people were just like, oh, if this guy likes him, he must be good.
Yeah.
And then people like Martin Scorsese and Brian De Palma and Steven Spielberg found one of the only prints available of Vertigo. And they used to go to like New York midnight screenings. And then it became like cool to like Alfred Hitchcock in a really underground kind of way. So you get to the point by the time I was born that he was like the greatest living director again. But a couple of years before I was born, he was trash.
Yeah. You know?
And you look at his films and you go, he's like we were talking about Frenzy the other week. You look at Frenzy, you look at Family Plot, and you go, these are not. These are films. Frenzy is a film with a 60s aesthetic that with a 70s attitude. And what's the other film that we're talking about?
Family Plot. Torn Curtain.
Peeping Tom.
Peeping Tom, yeah.
Peeping Tom, which was Michael Powell directed that. Peeping Tom is. It's got like. It's impossible to pinpoint when it was made. Psycho was black and white.
Yeah.
So it instantly looks like an old film, even though it was filmed in black and white. Was it to save money?
It was, I think, just to make it look like to do it quickly and cheap. So he used his like TV, like he basically used all his TV crew to make a real sort of cheap movie.
And it's a great black and white film, but you would assume that it was made in an era of black and white films.
Yeah.
When in actual fact, he'd made loads of colour films, and then Psycho was a cheapie. And it was made the same year as Peeping Tom. And Peeping Tom is harder to pinpoint because the themes in it are so...
dark. And they were, like, it was perceived at times being, like disgusting.
It feels like the opposite of Frenzy.
Yeah.
It feels like everything that Frenzy is kind of a bit, like, silly and light and mishandles maybe a bit. Peeping Tom absolutely.
That 70s.
Peeping Tom is ahead of its time,
yeah.
And Frenzy is so far behind its time. And when you watch it by today's standards, you can watch them both side by side, and it's fine. But when you actually put them in a historical context, you go, "Fucking hell, Alfred Hitchcock was chasing." Do you know what I mean? He wasn't
sort of. I love Frenzy. I think Frenzy is one of my favourite Hitchcocks by far, and I think I like it partly for that thing that it's really gritty and like. Like, oh God, this is really.
I don't think gritty is the word. It's dark.
I think it's got that sort of sense of humour, but it does feel like it's. But it is sort of. I think it is him trying to catch. Like, it is him being. All these kids are coming out doing these movies, but I can do that. I'm not done yet. Yeah. I can do one of these. Like,
no, I get that, but I also think that Groucho Harper, Chico, Gummo. Yeah. What did I say?
You said Gummo.
Yeah,
you got it right.
Yeah, just say correct. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Marx Brothers, and then there was 4 Marx Brothers, and then there were 3. And when they changed company, when they changed
studios,
the films weren't as good. And I don't think Duck Soup is their best. I think it might be. I can't remember the one on the boat. I think it is. What's the one on the boat? It's like one of the, it's like maybe, I think it's their third film that they made.
That's one for the, that's what they should put on the little film clip that you missed.
It got caught in my
lovely
throat.
Bit of visual comedy from Nick Hall.
It got caught in my throat.
Talking about physical comedy, and we've done a little bit for you on the radio.
Right, I think we called up our asses far enough now. It's not Night at the Opera. I think that was at the second production, second studio. Night at the Race is second studio.
I can't remember.
Monkey Business. Is it Monkey Business on the boat? Monkey Business, right. That's my favourite. It's really great. But I watched them all in like a weekend.
I did the same thing.
And I can't tell the difference between any of them.
I think I did exactly the same thing. I got a DVD box set and just went through them.
Well, you have to get 2 separate box sets. There's one of one studio and one of the other.
I think the
quality drop off by the time they move to the second studio. It's got some of their bigger known films, but I don't think they're as good as the really... I think the first one is so stage-bound because it was based on a stage show.
Yeah, a lot of them are. They do just feel like...
The first couple were very, almost impenetrable because they're kind of like, ugh. And then... So I think you nearly need to watch those retrospectively. Start with the big hits and then work backwards. Mm. But you don't have to do them in chronological order, guys. You can dip in and out of someone's career. Anyway, I'd just like saying that I know that a lot of people like listening, but they don't know anything about films, and that's fine. But I wouldn't want to think that... It's not meant to be impenetrable and to put you off. It's meant to just be kind of like, if you're interested in what we're talking about, just go out and, you know...
Dive in.
It should
or
be
paddling.
Like,
put a foot in the water.
Put an elbow
in. Put a toe in.
Put Ian Botham's elbow in. That's fan club.
Right.
Do I review? Oh, okay, so we've had a review come in. This is a bit about. I think every week is slightly different, isn't it? We've gone quite in depth into. No, it's not that in depth.
Oh yeah, but I think this is good.
It's Easter. What else are you doing?
I know.
Yeah, you're trapped in the house for 3 days, and you got your family over. You're arguing. The joke is that I'm saying that Easter's exactly like Christmas. No one gives a fuck about Easter. So. Got an email here, it says, "Hey lads, I've just hooked into this show and think it's often worthy of a 4 and sometimes 5 star review." Who's this cunt?
Sometimes.
I'm going to read ahead a little bit. Oh, what a fucking prick. Nah, I'm not going to read any more of that. That's some absolute cunt has written in and just absolutely negging us all the way. I'm going to say this now. I hate you. I'm going to play a song. Happy Easter, pricks. No, that's not that one. you need to get that one back on, actually, because it's registered that I've played that, I think, and it's deleted it. Oh, God, Easter.
This one, the one I want, oh, is yes, from the soundtrack of The Long Good Friday.
The one that you want. The one that you want from the soundtrack of
Grease.
Grease. Okay,
this is Bob Hoskins doing a reggae song from the Long Good Friday soundtrack.
Christ. What the fuck was that, Nat?
It's Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, I know, but if it was Jim Davidson doing the same thing, it'd be unacceptable. Now, I've said this before. I'm sorry, listeners. I know that we're all intrigued to find out what happens with Brexit, but not as much as Nat, and Nat in the wrong way. So,
it's a great song. Talking to the police.
Fucking.
From a long
How many times do you think Bob Hoskins has been joking and smoking and pulled over by the police? Not once.
Nah. Well,
it's cultural appropriation. It's disgusting. Mind you, he's done it before. He's not an American, but he still had the gall to play an American cop in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. We're joined in the studio now by...
WTF? Joey Page.
Joey Page was telling us that his aunt lived two doors along from...
Bob Hoskins. And he was always joking and smoking.
Was he joking and smoking, see?
Bob Hoskins joking and smoking.
Joking and smoking.
My favourite story about Bob Hoskins was when he was doing the Good to Talk advert.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and, BT.
And it was like a national catchphrase, it's good to talk. Mm. And he was crossing the road and a bus stopped at a zebra crossing for him. And as he was crossing the road, the whole side of the bus went, mouthed, it's good to talk. and he turned around to me and went, fuck off. I like Bob Hoskins a lot. Well, I did until I heard that.
Apparently, talking of Brian De Palma, he did that thing where they asked him to be, what's he called, Al Capone in the Untouchables, and he agreed to it, but what secretly they wanted Robert De Niro, and they didn't really tell him at the time that they were actually after Robert De Niro, and they thought Robert De Niro wasn't going to do it, so they cast Bob Hoskins, and at the last minute, De Niro agreed to do it, and they were like, oh God, we've hired Bob Hoskins now, we can't get rid of him, and they basically paid him off, and they said... Bob, it's really embarrassing. We've actually, all this time, we were trying to get Robert De Niro to do it. And he goes, okay. And he goes, but it's not ideal, but what we're going to do is we're going to still pay the 60 grand we were going to give you to do the movie. And he goes, and we're really sorry. And he goes, no, that's lovely. If you've got any other films you want me not to be in, I'd love it. So he basically got 60 grand to not be in The Untouchables and was absolutely pleased as punch.
And also, the thing about Bob Hoskins was he was the original choice to play Wolverine in the X-Men movie.
When was that?
When they were making the X-Men movie.
Was it?
Yeah. And actually, Bob Hoskins is more...
yeah, he looks more like he does in the comics.
He's more comic accurate.
Yeah.
So that Bob Hoskins was meant to be Wolverine. Anyway, you don't know anything of film, do
no,
you,
No, I've seen about 100 films in my entire life,
And what's your favourite out of all them?
It's changed quite recently.
Oh yeah? You've seen a new film.
I can buy that. I've seen a new film.
yeah, but... it used to be Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
But until someone pointed out that I always used to say it was boring in the middle. And that was still my favourite film. but I watched
That's really the beginning of.
So, have you ever seen a film that you liked all the way through?
Yeah, Arrival. I like that. Oh, yeah. So that might be. Oh, no, but my favourite is Interstellar.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, God. Have you not seen The Rock?
What? With Sean Connery in it?
Yash.
I think I've seen that, yeah.
You'd know if you'd seen it, mate. It's the best film ever made. It's not the best film ever made. That's Con Air, but it's up there. So that's great. So we're joined this year by Joey Page, my lifelong friend.
Career-long friend, aye.
Career-long friend. We've known each other since, 2007? 2006?
Yeah.
I knew you before you had a moustache.
Yeah.
I've known you since you've had a moustache.
And I used to be in your show in Edinburgh and the first time you did it, and I used to sit in the corner. I can't really remember why.
Which show is that?
It was like a long way up in Edinburgh. It was like miles away. It was up by the other station. Do you remember?
Bad things happen in trees.
Yeah.
Oh, were you one of the guests?
Yeah.
Were you one of the guests?
But I think I did it a few times.
I think maybe, but you didn't do it every day.
Well, okay. It felt like
it. No, it didn't feel like it. I did it every day, and that felt like it. But you did it
but
once
or
twice.
But yeah, so we've been friends for a long time.
You saw me have my worst gig of my life, didn't you?
And is that why you've not really put me forward for... any other work, because I did really well and you thought that maybe that had something to do with it.
I've always told people that I saw you absolutely smash it.
Thanks.
I said, you absolutely smashed that gig. But then
I made it difficult for the headliner.
I said Jerry Page absolutely smashed that gig, and then I went on and I didn't just struggle, I had the worst gig of my entire life. So that gives you an idea of how fucked up that audience was. how backwards they were. Where was that gig? It was in...
somewhere in Essex, like Braintree or something.
Braintree.
Like
was it Braintree?
I don't know, something like that.
It wasn't Braintree.
It wasn't, but it's somewhere like that.
Anyway, so how are you? What are you up to at the moment?
How's your Easter?
Oh, my Easter's going great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just, you've just been on tour, haven't you?
Well, no, because it's in the same place, so it can't be a tour.
Oh, you got a gig?
Did a week of gigs at
Why
Two North
Down.
Why
are you here, Joey?
To promote that, but I got moved to past the date.
You didn't get moved. You cancelled on us. You cancelled on us. And you
and
could
then
have
I was
used
supposed to come the next week, and I got cancelled from that.
That's absolute bullshit,
Joey. No, that
Joey.
Is true. Look at
that's
that.
That's absolute bullshit. We gave you an opportunity. You fucking blew it. And then we put you on when it was possible, but right? And you're coming on here blaming us for the fact that you can't promote your fucking one gig tour, It's just a gig. I'm absolutely furious with you now. You're throwing this back in our faces.
Do you want to know what I was doing instead when I was supposed to come on here?
Yeah.
I was doing a little live presenting thing, like a team building thing where I had to pretend to host the Crystal Maze.
Yeah, to pretend to host the Crystal Maze.
Yeah.
Were you in the Crystal Maze or were you just outside?
No, it was like an adventure playground. And they'd brought their own blow up dome.
And you have to host it.
Yeah.
And in the morning, did you find that your fingers were bleeding and that you were actually naked on your own in an uncarpeted living room?
No.
Oh, good.
So how are you two?
So hang on, I don't understand what this Crystal Maze thing was.
So it's like a team building thing.
Is it called the Crystal Maze or is it like got a fake
crystal
name?
The Crystal Challenge.
Is that so it's not close enough to the Crystal Maze?
Yeah, I think so.
The Diamond Labyrinth. Okay, cool.
So you were the Richard Ayoade or Richard
O'Brien.
Joey O'Brien.
So you've just finished your six nights thing. How did it go?
Yeah, great. Yeah, it's good.
And is it also going on tour?
It's going to Edinburgh.
Edinburgh. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So have you written it?
Yeah.
All finished?
Pretty much.
Your Edinburgh show?
Yeah.
What are you going to do for the rest of the time when you're getting... just chilling?
Try and make it better so that I can finally some better work.
I always leave it till the last minute to write the show, but in actual fact, if I wrote it now, I could just
That's
spend
the whole
time
in doing
making
the,
it
the,
better.
The shows at, in King's Cross was so that I had to write a show.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I wouldn't do it. Hmm. But yeah.
You wouldn't do it for Edinburgh?
Yeah, but it'd be rushed.
Do you know that's a good idea? Because there's too much admin, isn't there? Yeah. All the time you think you're going to have before Edinburgh, you don't actually have it. Yeah. You end up doing...
Are you going to do Edinburgh again?
I'll do it again, not this year.
Not this year. Mm. You're there, though, aren't you, Nicky Boyd?
I am. I'm doing the whole run for the first time in 6 years.
Very nice.
2013 was the Foster's Comedy Award nominated for...
As yet to be
one
written,
no, I've written it.
Yeah.
As of it, it's Easter, so maybe it's the future...
Yeah. I've written it.
Still a month in if you say it's all written now.
I'm going to write something for McCuntleth and then that'll be my alarm bell. Anyway, Joey, what are you into?
Oh.
If it's not films, what do you spend your time doing if it's not
films? Well, I was talking about this yesterday, actually.
We weren't here yesterday.
No, but not with you two.
So for the listeners at home, when he says yesterday, he means...
Maundy Thursday.
Four weeks and one day ago.
Oh, great. So you're not doing this as it is live Easter?
We are, sort of, but it's also bullshit, isn't it?
Because the show could have not gone well, which is why I was quite...
No, don't say that.
don't say that.
Why would people come... You're not going to promote your own show,
but no, because it's going out after it's finished.
Yeah,
matter.
But you don't want to tell people who might see it in Edinburgh that it was terrible.
It'll be good by Edinburgh.
That's what fucking Paul and Becky did. Paul and Becky came on and did a pre-record, and I said, how's Edinburgh going? They said, well, it's all right. Like, they imagined it. It was like... And I said, guys.
I did imagine it went well, but now I've realised that... You're not pretending. I'm not going to pretend.
Okay.
But yeah, yesterday, 4 weeks ago on Sunday.
Yeah.
Monday, Thursday.
17th of March.
I got asked what I do because I don't watch telly, really.
Don't watch telly? You don't watch films?
I watch...
What do you do with your eyes?
I watch wrestling quite a lot. And that's my big thing that I like.
Do you like the WWE? Well,
I'm just looking at the clock and we're only 17 minutes into this hour.
I thought I'd let you pick what you wanted to talk about. I'll give you some options.
No, but like is it the WWE wrestling?
Yeah. So there's that.
What's the difference between WWF and WWE?
They had to change it because of the World Wildlife Fund.
Are you fucking kidding
me? Yeah, yeah.
They sued them.
Yeah.
What, because people were donating to wrestlers?
Yeah, I think a lot of wrestlers dying on drug overdoses was bad for the image of WWF.
They don't have long lives, do they, the wrestlers?
Or the animals?
They never seem to have long lives.
No.
Well, they either die young or live old enough to become Hulk Hogan, don't they?
But here's the thing. It really hurts. Like
wrestling?
Yeah, my wife got me a wrestling lesson for my birthday, and we both went and did it. And I was horrible at it, and it like even like running into the ropes hurts. Mm. And so I just thought, no, I'm not doing this. Yeah. That was my dream snuffed out at its infancy.
I did a wrestling masterclass when I was at university once.
Hang on, you're in the wrestling in Edinburgh, but you haven't wrestled, have you?
No, not really. I did one sort of move at the end of the second one, but
did they make you do actual training for it?
Not me.
No.
No.
Right.
But I think if they're ever doing it again, I'm maybe doing wrestling. But I don't know.
Well, it hurt. The training really hurts.
Well, when I did it, well, the thing that we did was we learned to like land in a way that
but it still hurts.
But you did a thing. We had like crash mats and stuff.
Yeah, but in a like ring that's made of like wood.
Yeah, but we had crash mats. We didn't just jump straight into the ring. We sort of like learn how to sort of, you do like a forward roll without using your hands.
Yeah, yeah.
So you kind of like you're walking along, and then you basically
sort of tip onto
your shoulder, and then you roll over and land back on your feet, but you don't use your hands.
Okay,
and it's like a stunt roll.
You do.
I don't think I'd be able to get up.
Oh, I didn't think I'd be able to do it at all. But you do it, and you absolutely just feel like you're the best person in the world for like the rest of your life.
But then
that's what's kept me going.
The next one after that, they teach you after that, is that you jump and then you flip straight over your own head.
No,
straight onto your back. So you land on your back, right?
Yeah, to land on your feet. Don't worry.
Okay,
no, right. But
I could probably do this.
That really hurts. Especially if you keep landing on your neck, like I did.
Yeah,
I was like, no, that's enough for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, ever since I was a little kid, I was just like fascinated by it.
I don't watch a lot of TV.
Yeah. What do you do? You must watch all these films because you're always.
Yeah, I don't quite watch a film a night. But when I've got all my work done, I always feel guilty about how much I watch, but like. But when I've got all my work done, I'll watch a film in bed and, you know, go to bed.
Fair enough. But I'm more music than film or TV. So yeah. I either listen to music.
I don't listen to loads of music. I listen to loads of one. Well, I don't really listen to a lot of music. I write music. That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. But then I write, not that you two don't, but I write comedy. I don't really watch comedy because you have enough writing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You see enough.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think that it's a rabbit hole that you can go down where it leads to bitterness, hatred, and competitiveness.
So absolutely.
I watch cooking shows.
Yeah.
Do you know, I like watching comedy. I guess I'm no competition. That's why.
I think that, you're struggling from the fact, Nat, that you're one of the nicest people in the business.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah.
And what me and Joey are suffering from is that we can't... no, I'm not.
I know people who are into wrestling, but there is a whole... I've never really been into it, not even when I was a kid. But there is like a whole...
Interstellar is your favourite. Interstellar.
Yeah, it's a good film.
I got mixed up with the Chris Pratt one. What's that, Passengers? I was thinking... Passengers is your favourite film.
No, Interstellar's good.
Interstellar, fine, okay. Yeah. I've never seen that.
Oh, it's
good.
But
Passengers is like, oh my God.
It's like
a futuristic...
He hasn't seen it.
It's a futuristic rape fantasy, basically, where a man...
Yeah, Joey, what are you talking about?
Sorry.
It's just absolutely horrific.
I might watch that. Can I get in?
It's basically Chris Pratt gaslights...
When I get back to preparing the show that went really well. Four weeks ago.
What's her name?
Jennifer
Lawrence.
So, basically,
Chris Pratt gaslights Jennifer Lawrence into sleeping with him.
as you two
on a spaceship, if that's your thing, Joey,
clearly love films like this.
No, we were talking about wrestling.
No, yeah, but I've got a question. Yeah, what film would you say that I have to go and watch if I, that you know I won't have seen? That's not Passengers.
I wouldn't force you to do it.
Yeah, but if you were like,
if you don't want to watch a film, you don't have to.
But you're like, if there's anyone,
and if you're not interested in films, you're listening to the wrong show, really. It was never pitched as a film show. It was just meant to be what people are fans of. But we've slowly but surely shoehorned it into what we wanted to do.
I don't know.
What film would you recommend for me?
So have you seen...
Evil Dead 2?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, because I don't mind not having seen the first one. No, it doesn't matter. I saw Hunger Games 2 without seeing Hunger Games 1
that might,
or
that
3.
That might be more important, is it?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Did it make sense to you?
It's fine.
Okay.
I had an all right time.
Have you seen Fighting With My Family, the WWE
film? No, I'm not bothered about that. Okay. But, yeah, I don't know.
Have you literally just brought wrestling with you? And now you're refusing to talk about wrestling?
No, not at all. I refuse to talk about a wrestling film that I haven't really got any interest in.
No, but I'm like saying, tell us more about wrestling. And then you go, no. I want to turn the tables on you. I'm going to ask you a question. What film should I watch? What are you in the mood for, Joey?
I don't know. Just what film would you recommend to me?
I've seen a million films.
Yeah, so pick me a good one.
I haven't. I've seen about 30,000 films.
So if you like that...
I've seen 100.
What genre? What are you in for? Are you into wanking?
I have seen that film, Porn.
What film?
Lots of different clips, isn't there?
What film?
There's just loads of clips. They're all about 7 minutes long.
Oh, they're 7 minutes long? I've never gone all the way through. 7 minutes long. That's like Han Solo describing how fast the Millennium Falcon goes.
I've never seen a Star Wars film.
How many parsecs? 14, 12 parsecs.
How old are you, Joey?
34
and you've never seen a Star Wars film?
No.
At school, were people not into stuff like that? That you were like...
Yeah, I think I'm more like Star Trek, but I didn't get that far into
that. I honestly don't give a fuck about Star Wars.
No.
There's 3 Star Wars films that I like, but I'm not like a Star Wars fan. But that fucking film fucking boiled my spuds!
In a good way or a bad way?
In a bad way.
Okay.
They boiled his spuds in a good way. That's quite a nice idea.
Yeah.
I don't, you don't need to... I always think that people wear it as a badge of honour. I've never seen a Star Wars film. It's just like, well, I don't understand how that's possible, but also, who gives a fuck?
But did you not have, like, pals at school that would go and see films
not
and
really.
Stuff?
Like, all my mates are, like, into football and that.
Okay.
Yeah, but we don't need to invite a guest on and then just ask, well, why don't you like what we like? Tell us what you like.
Well, what else do you want? Because
you can talk about talk about anything you want. And part of mine and Nathaniel's special skills is that we can talk to our guests about anything that they throw at us. So go on, throw something at us.
All right. Tottenham Hotspur. I feel like I'm going to bring a lot of things that you're not going to want to talk about.
Because I saw Prometheus again recently, actually.
See, there you go.
That doesn't hold up. It didn't hold up at the time, though.
David Bowie, which I know you're a big fan of. Bowie. That's probably my specialist subject.
We talked about David Bowie earlier.
Yeah. And
Do
you have a favourite Bowie album?
Yes. I basically just love the whole Berlin period of
history. Oh, yeah.
Do you love David Bowie?
Yeah.
Have you not seen The Man Who Fell to Earth?
The film.
Fuck me.
I've seen the musical. Which isn't called that, but...
What, the one Lazarus?
Yeah.
Did you like that?
Yeah, it was really good. And I hate musicals.
I didn't like it. I really...
Why'd you hate musicals?
It made me cry.
Why'd you hate musicals, Joey?
Not yours.
No, I don't care. Mine isn't really a musical.
Yeah.
No, but I...
it's like a musical sketch show, but that sounds shit.
I just find musicals annoying.
Yeah.
I keep singing. That's my main problem with them, is that people keep singing. It gets on my nerves.
I stole a loaf of bread.
Exactly.
I can see that. Yeah. I can see why you would like them.
Can we get that into a thing? I'll sing it properly one time. Hang on, sorry. We're just doing some admin right now. We're just getting one of our little
buttons.
I stole a loaf of bread. Oh, he's more pathetic than that. I stole a loaf of bread. Maybe one way my voice doesn't crack. Hang on.
I don't know. Is this from a musical?
It's from Les Mis. It's Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
I stole a loaf of bread.
I thought it was a joke. I didn't know. Well,
so we'll use that into a thing. Sorry, but Joey, where were we?
Right, so... all the things that I love, pretty much, are sort of... I think it's where I get me being a bit eccentric from. Like, when I was little, one of the first, like, weird people that I remember seeing on TV was Busta Rhymes.
Oh, yeah, right?
So, like, saw that.
He's always in the house.
Saw them videos on MTV, and I was like, oh, like, you can be like that as a grown adult. That's pretty cool. And then that sort of carried on. I think that's why I like wrestling, because they're all, like, weird guys that are, like...
Yeah.
Because back in the 90s, it was like people would be dressed as, or like they'd be the characters of things. So you'd be like, who's going to win between a clown and a policeman? Like, right. And that's quite fun when you're a little kid.
And The Undertaker, are you an Undertaker?
Was he your favourite? Who's your favourite? I really like The Undertaker.
My favourite back then, I don't think it really holds up now. I think it could possibly be seen as a bit culturally insensitive. But it was a guy, he was called Papa Shango, and he was a voodoo doctor.
Right, yeah.
But I went to Cubs fancy dresses in.
He would be a witch doctor.
Yeah.
Not a voodoo doctor.
Okay, witch doctor.
No. But, is there a doctor on the plane?
I watched that film.
We've watched it already.
Voodoo doctor on the plane.
What's he called? There he is.
I went as that as to fancy dress Cubs when I was 8.
I mean, that's weird. Yeah, that is culturally insensitive for you to do it.
No, I didn't black up. I just wore the skull face paint.
Well, that would be ridiculous if you had to black up, because you'd have to black up and then you'd have to white up on top of that. I mean, that would be crazy. That's beyond eccentric.
But isn't it a lot of the thing with wrestling, isn't it? There's that kind of behind the scenes stuff that people are into, so it's all like you watch the main sort of
battle. Well, yeah, now as an adult it is like, and also the real life behind the scenes of what's going on, like the politics of why are they getting
who's in it and who are they trying to make into stars, but, and things, right?
Yeah, but yeah, so always like things like that's not him. Natalie's just put up,
now he's culturally insensitive.
Natalie's put up a picture of a man eating some worms on the screen who's called the Boogeyman, who
the Boogeyman
for about 6 months, and surprisingly that character didn't take off.
Well, the thing is, when you're a professional wrestler, you've learned how to wrestle, and basically you come up with a character, and you're either a straight or a heel, aren't you?
Yeah.
And the heels are the bad guys, and the straights are the
good
guys.
Which are the ones I always liked when I was a kid.
Yeah, everyone
you're not likes. Supposed to, like, okay. It's not designed for you to like them.
And it's basically, the wrestling is, it's not that it's real. You've got a series of moves. The physicality of it, and
the pain,
and all of that is real. But they're kind of like morality shows that are put on for kids, aren't they?
Yeah.
And adults. And it's really entertaining. It's just like... but it goes back like over 100 years. It's kind of like one of the... No, I wouldn't say that it's one of the oldest forms of entertainment, but like wrestling is kind of like
it used to exist in circuses and stuff.
Yeah, it's like a show.
Okay.
It's a show of strength and British wrestling... who did you have over here? Yeah,
Giant Haystacks.
Big Daddy killed someone, didn't he? Doing the Daddy Splash.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did he kill someone?
Yeah. Oh. Google the cunt. So,
why we stopped being on telly?
I tell you, stop being on telly because wrestling stopped being on telly.
That's probably it. More,
but like, so
they wouldn't put him on Countdown.
So wrestling was kind of like a Victorian thing where people were going out, and it's like shows of strength. It's the same as like strongmen and.
But I love all that kind of like, at least the sort of showiness of all that. Like,
it's showmanship, but that's what it was. And then all of like the characters and the good guys, the bad guys, the straights, the heels. All of that came out of the fact that they're. I mean, I don't know anything about wrestling. I'm just saying what I think that I know. You can correct me at any point. But all of that came through the fact that it's like, it's for the audience, isn't it? It's not like gymnastics or a 100-metre sprint, is it?
Where it's not for them.
It's like athletes that are trying to do their best so that they can succeed. They're like preordained storylines that are playing out in front of you. And then... So you have the actual wrestling matches. Then you have like the
soap opera.
The soap opera banter stuff that goes on behind the scenes of the wrestling matches that's building up to.
Yeah.
So like when you have
a reason to fight.
When you have two boxers that are kind of like being interviewed and they like kick off at the press conference.
To sell tickets.
That's kind of like almost... the wrestling version of that is kind of even more heightened than that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then on top of that, what's interesting is you have the actual real life personal lives of a lot of the wrestlers who basically become addicted to painkillers and steroids. Yep. And you know, you look at that Jake the Snake documentary and Beyond the Mat.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's just kind of like, and you realise that actually.
And that may also just being controlled by the higher ups as well, right? They're all under contract and they get told what to do and all that when it might not
And if you fuck them off, then they either write you out or they give you horrible storylines. Yeah. But basically, before then, you learn to be a wrestler and then you have to develop your own wrestling personality.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like with stand-up. I think there's a lot of similarities, except you get really physically hurt in wrestling, you get mentally hurt in stand-up.
I would say that not to do it a disservice, I think the entertainment industry is one of the hardest industries to sort of survive mentally as well. And I think that I wouldn't really consider wrestling a sport. I would consider it
entertainment. It's definitely not. Well, it's athletic, but it's not a sport.
It's athletic,
you know what I mean?
It's physically fucking cruel. It's not like no one's betting on wrestling matches, do you know what I mean? Are they? People don't bet.
I think people do.
Oh my god, it's fake.
I think. Yeah, I know. But
when
I think
people say it's fake, they mean the drama.
But I guess they don't know how the
who's gonna.
Yeah. That's all a secret, isn't it? Between like a small group of people.
Yeah.
Sure, and the storylines.
Technically, I don't think that's enough for a betting shop.
No. Yeah, true.
But they're playing super long storylines. They're playing like, you know, they're setting stuff up for like a year in advance.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like, this guy's got to lose this match and he's got to sleep with his wife because then it's going to pay
off. In 6 months' time,
way.
Yeah.
So when does that happen where they pretend like people are sleeping with each other's wives and things?
There was a period of that, but it's a bit more PC now. There was a period in like the early 2000s where it was all things.
That would be made up as well. Okay.
But there's like also really kind of like tasteless stuff that's happened in the past.
Yeah, but it's not really like that now. It's kind of become a bit sort of tame and watered down.
I was going to say, isn't there a thing where it's because they're trying to tame WWE because they want to eventually sell it to like Disney or something.
Yeah, something like that.
It's something, so they want it to all be a bit PG now. So they can sell it as like a whole thing. Like, but the WWF is going to be owned like Lucasfilm is and all
it's
that.
It's mental that it wasn't always like that. Yeah, because they.
It's just one family.
They all used to sell toys, didn't they? There was like.
And t-shirts and everything.
And the big fingers.
Big foam finger.
Big fingers.
It's family entertainment. It's just like, it's spectacular. It's a spectacle.
It's a great show. Like the wrestling in Edinburgh, it's just like a really big production.
Or like going to see a gig. It's just like you go out for like a night out. It's incredible. So do you know much about like Hulk Hogan? Because Hulk Hogan started off as being Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And then he became Hollywood.
So Hogan. That's basically like the biggest surprise thing pretty much that's ever happened. So Hulk Hogan is like, you know, but you know, like how important he was to like the American dream of
he was sort of like a superhero. Wasn't
prayers
he?
And you can eat the vitamins and stuff.
You can be a bald man with hair around the back.
He was sort of like Terry Nutkins, wasn't he? Terry Nutkins.
Real name is Terry as well.
Is it?
you can be called Terry with bleach blonde Terry Nutkins haircut, and not really a
six
pack,
and moustache,
a beer gut,
handlebar moustache.
Yeah.
And you can be the biggest hero in
America.
In Gremlins 2, the new batch. you could be like the biggest hero in America. And then he was like, he was the American dream.
But
he was in Rocky 3 as well.
When that got a bit tired, like, and people started to go, well, that's a bit lame. Like,
well, he'd done a couple of films that weren't very
Christian
good
Bell
as well.
Kind of bit of America. Then they had to do something with him, so then they turned him into a bad guy.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
And he had black stubble, didn't he?
Yeah.
Have you got a picture? Can you get a picture? He had black stubble.
He wore black trousers and a black bandana.
Quite like that.
Little group.
They bring him back as a baddie. Mm.
Yeah, and he had like.
So why did he go bad?
Because he made Santa with muscles. What's the film? There's a film. It's either Suburban Commando or Mr.
Trouble
Nanny.
In Paradise.
No, it's there he is.
So it was. Oh, so he's just literally drawn black paint on his face.
Yeah.
To be like stubble.
Yeah.
Well, he's colored as stubble.
It's very weird.
Hollywood Hogan. How old was he here? So he's probably in his 50s, yeah.
This is late 90s, early 2000s, is it?
Yeah, it's 2000 or so. So basically, now, what is he? He's got to be in his like late 60s.
Well, he's had all that sex stuff happen, hasn't he?
Yeah. Look at that. Terrible business.
He looks like Bluto from Popeye.
Yeah, but there's people that would look at this and they take this side of it seriously.
Yeah.
He's got drawn on stubble. He looks. It's like Fred Flintstone's got that as well, isn't he? He's got that kind of stubble.
I'd love that stubble. I can't grow a beard.
No, I can't really. I've got a very it's bitty. Right. Yeah, it's all right.
I just
not bad.
Can't get this bit here.
Yeah.
Did you so there's the beginning credits of one of his films? It's either Mr. Nanny or Suburban Commando, where Hulk Hogan is riding along like a highway on his motorbike, and in the background of the shot, a man is throwing a dog into a river.
And is that key to the story?
No, it's nothing to do with it. It's not.
They found it.
They just happened to find
it. Just while they were filming, in the background of a shot, there's a man that's throwing a dog into a river. It's like it's just like this thing where you go, what? Hang on a minute. It's fucking.
Aww.
It's not part of the film.
And he's throwing it in a fun
it's
way, just, or is he
no,
trying to
he's, sort of get rid of trying to drown his dog? Abusing a dog in the background of one of the shots.
Is that Hulk Hogan's fault though?
It's not Hulk Hogan's fault.
I hope it's Mr. Nanny. Where it'd be like a real. In fact, they're both kids, maybe.
I think it must be Mr. Nanny because he's on a bike. As opposed to if he was Suburban Commando, he would be on a spaceship. Yeah.
Yeah. How many films have they made that are like that? Because there's Arnold Schwarzenegger's a nanny, isn't he?
Well,
yeah.
So how many tough guy nannies are there?
No, Arnold Schwarzenegger's not a nanny. Arnold Schwarzenegger's a kindergarten
cop.
Yeah,
but same sort of thing.
But so basically, Schwarzenegger...
Same to me.
Schwarzenegger created the blueprint on how to do it. Yeah. If you're a big guy with muscles and you want to get into the entertainment industry, you make a couple of films where you beat people up.
Yeah.
And then you make a family film. And the best way to do that is to basically... revert type and what's it
like a play against type
play against type but what's that when you flip expectations is it revert expectations
yeah
I don't think it
subvert
is. Subvert expectations that's the word
thank you Joe.
I wouldn't be too smug about that because
I don't know what I was.
I can't believe I can remember that word myself. It's fucking
I mean
pathetic.
It took me that long as well.
We'll
so
cut that out in the edit. Oh, it's live.
Keep it in. Live 2
Happy
weeks
Easter.
In
keep
the future.
It, keep it light.
4 weeks.
So
eating a chocolate egg.
So what you do is you get Arnold Schwarzenegger and you go
eating a chocolate.
Come on guys, let's stay on topic. So you get Arnold Schwarzenegger and it'd be like, how to make this funny? Well, he's Danny DeVito's twin.
Yes.
Not Arnie. Yes. I'm laughing just thinking about it. and then you go, what can we do with Arnold Schwarzenegger now? Well, we'll make him a kindergarten teacher in kindergarten. I'm laughing just thinking about it. And then you go, well, what do we do now? He'll be the first pregnant man. And it's like a ballless,
blueprint.
It's an absolutely castrated version of what you can really do with it. But... and then everyone's done that. Like The Rock has done the Tooth Fairy. Where, what do you do with The Rock? Well, he's the Tooth Fairy. No, not the Tooth Fairy. And then you've got The Pacifier starring Vin Diesel.
If I wanted to start a career in film, how would you like plan my trajectory? What would be my...
Plan your trajectory?
Yeah, like how would you get me into films?
How would I...
what would be your game plan for me?
If I was to make a film about you, I would recommend that... I won't make a film about you. If I was to... How would I recommend that you get into films? Mm. As in, star in a movie?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you could put you in, like, a kindergarten thing, so it wouldn't be like, oh, imagine if Joey Page was in a kindergarten.
I mean, the problem is no one knows where I'm in the first place, but just so the say like I did, too, I just want to know what your theory is.
It wouldn't seem like you'd be like...
Get me over.
You'd have to shave the moustache off.
I can do that.
Okay.
I'd do it this afternoon.
You're not... You're not going near any kids like that.
So, another one of my big loves,
another
things that I'm a fan of is.
You should play a song.
What? Are you going to play the song that
you
I
play
picked?
Your song.
Well, because that's what it leads into.
Oh wait,
go on. See, because I've done this before. This radio stuff.
I don't like it when people come on and tell us how to do our show.
I was just going to do a nice segue into the
really
song you're going to play.
Go on, now do it.
Really fucking annoying. WTF?
I mean, I've got headphones on.
Come on.
Okay, go on.
No, so another sort of eccentric, weird person that I like is the guy who's on the track that I brought in for you to play, which is a
Mad Villain.
Well, it's... That's the name of like two guys together, but the guy that raps on it, and I know you're a big fan of rap, Nick.
I do like rap.
We've
got two versions of this
he's
song.
Called MF Doom, right?
Oh yeah
I know MF
right.
Doom.
So, and this is
the
why
shorter
I like,
one,
because he is a really eccentric guy. Basically, he is a super villain
Yeah, and he wears a Doctor Doom mask from the Fantastic Four comics.
But sometimes he doesn't turn up at his own gigs. He sends someone else in the mask.
Yeah, and once and it was, like wasn't, and, didn't Mos Def do it once?
Yeah, and he's just another really eccentric guy, and I think that's the sort of thing.
I quite like, people actually don't really know a lot about him, right?
No.
He's kind of quite incognito. Yeah. It's a nice, nice idea.
He's like the Daniel Kitson of hip-hop. That's how I often describe him.
Really? Because Daniel Kitson often does quite confessional
hip-hop
three-hour
no,
shows.
No, but as in, like, he doesn't...
Oh, you know quite a lot about Daniel Kitson, I think. I think it'd be possible to piece together quite a lot of information about Daniel Kitson just by going to see one of his shows.
You could piece together quite a lot of information about him.
I think he's probably, what you've done
not
there,
a lot of public appearances, etc., and he's brilliant at what he does.
What you've done there is you've used the wrong person for your analogy.
Who should we have used?
Great stuff.
Yeah, this is good.
Great stuff. Oh, yeah.
Hold a cold one like he hold an old gun, like he hold a microphone and stole the show for fun, or a foe for ransom. Flows is handsome, holes in tandem, anthem, random, tantrum, phantom of the grand old Opry, ask the dumb hottie, mask, pump shoddy, somebody stop me, hardly come sloppy on a retarded hard copy, after rocking parties he departed in a jalopy. Watch the drop top poppy, known as the grimy, limey, slimy, try me, blimey. Simply smashing in a fashion that's timely. Mad villain dashing in a beat rhyme crime spree. We rock the house like rock and roll. Got more soul than a sock with a hole. Set the stage with a goal. To have the game locked in a cage, getting shocked with a pole. Overthrow it like throwing over a biscuit. A lot of bitches think he's overly chauvinistic. Let go his dick if that's the case. Rats with a waste, there's more cats to chase. Dogs, he got it like new powers. Woke up broke, spit the shit in a few hours. Sheesh, been a leash since the Glee Club. Had your fans saying, please make me a dub. Well, since you asked kindly, where he been behind the mask, who can't find me? You're blind, in the wine zone. Leave your mind blown when he shine with the nine. He's a rhinestone. Cowboy. No, 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 enough. Goonie goo goo, loony cuckoo, like Eric Anu off Nuzu Review. But who knew the mask had a loose screw? Hell could hardly tell, had to tighten it up like the Drells and Archie Bell. It speaks well of the hyperbase. Wasn't even tweaked and it leaked into cyberspace. Couldn't wait for the snipes to place. At least a track listing bone print typeface. Stop for a year, come back with thumbtacks, pop for the beer. We're hip-hop sharecroppers, used to wear flip-flops, now rare gear coppers. He's in it for the quiche, you might as well not ask him for no free shit, capiche? Oh, my aching hands, from raking in grams and breaking in mic stands. Villain, the smile stun your chick, while he put himself in your shoes, run your kicks. You heard it on the radio, tape it, play it in your stereo, your crew will go ape shit. Raw lyrics. Smells him like a hunch, the same intuition that tells him spike the punch. Curses, he's truly a worshipper with enough rhymes to spread throughout the boundless universes. Let the beat blast, he told him wear the mask, he said you bet your sweet ass. He's made of fine chrome alloy, find him on the grind, he's the rhinestone cowboy.
Fan Club with Joey Page and Nathaniel Metcalf.
Sorry, we've got a twat in the studio. I've not put your microphone up, Jerry.
It's quite nice to put some music under when you're having a chat.
Did the song finish? Oh, sorry, I had to go for a wee, fan clubbers.
I faded it down early so that I could take over the desk.
It's very funny. So we've got Jerry Page on Fan Club today in to talk about pizza, wasting your time and
we sort of zipped through
the
things.
What's your favourite pizza?
It depends on my mood.
Natalie, can you understand now why we didn't want him on as a guest? So, you did. So what's your favourite pizza?
What's your favourite pizza?
What I would say, do you know what? What I would say, which surprises me as much as anyone else, is that my favourite pizza is a gluten-free...
Do you have gluten problems?
No, but my girlfriend does.
Right.
Is a gluten-free vegan pizza from Fereza.
Okay. He's got the cash.
I really like vegan cheese on a pizza. It's like...
I think vegan cheese is disgusting.
I don't know if I've ever had vegan cheese.
On a pizza, it's really nice. It's like really soft melted brie.
Okay.
It's quite gooey. Gooey. Come on, girl. Let's get gooey. that's another of our characters, Noel Edmonds.
Oh, can I tell you this?
Maybe.
Why is the sound so low in my headphones?
Oh, because it was so loud when I put your headphones on. I turned it down a bit.
Oh, what? Hello, 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 hello. Oh, there we go. That's much better. The soft, relaxing...
My wife...
Sounds of my voice.
Your wife.
Your wife.
Oh,
you got married, didn't you? You got married.
Yeah, I got married. Yeah. I like that. I can talk about that.
We haven't got time. No, I wish you'd brought it up earlier, if anything.
No, my wife showed me a picture of a guy once that really looked like Noel Edmonds. And it made me laugh so much that she, every year at Christmas, will get me a present and it'll be like him on like a key ring or in a bauble. Or
his real name's
Rob Reason.
Rob Reason.
Nick and Nat Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
It's not an anecdote. It's not an anecdote.
But actually, though, so, Natalie, can you Google just, Rob Reason for me? Because I do want to see
you
him.
Find it. I'll get a picture.
You saw a bloke who looked like Noel Edmonds but wasn't Noel Edmonds.
While we're waiting for the picture, hey, Nat, what is the real first name of Baby, Jennifer Grey's character in Dirty Dancing?
The real name?
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Francis?
It's Francis. But
I only got that from Natalie shouting through the glass.
Yeah, I know. She was cheating. This one. In which 1990s movie did Tom Hanks play a lawyer suffering from AIDS?
Philadelphia?
Yes!
I've not seen it, but I know what it's about.
There we go.
He doesn't really. He looks like a cross between Noel Edmonds and
Jesus
Christ. Weirdly, Sean Bean playing Jesus.
Noel Edmonds.
It is. It is. When I did Deal or No Deal, before you went on set, there'd be pictures, life-size pictures of Noel Edmonds dressed as God.
No.
It's just the last thing you see before you go on.
Why?
Who knows?
Has he put them there?
Well,
he certainly knows
it.
About them.
He would have insisted. He hasn't told anyone to take them down, if you know what I mean. Anyway.
I can imagine you doing something like that.
Oh, is it that?
It's a joke, but not for
real. Maybe he's doing it as a joke. But
Joey, you're one of my favourite guests that we've ever had on. I just don't know where this conversation's going to go next. So we're going to... I've never done this, but I'm really kind of pushing to say we start the game soon. tell us about your favourite pizza.
No, I was just being sarcastic. Oh, that.
What's your favourite food?
No, it is pizza, but I didn't think it, I wasn't bringing it in as a genuine topic.
Oh my god, fuck this. What's your favourite pizza?
Well, it depends on your mood, doesn't
it? No, it doesn't.
Yeah,
okay, what's your favourite pizza company to order from?
Oh, Domino's.
Domino's, of course. I remember, it must have been 1987, maybe 1988, it was always Pizza Hut, and then I went round someone's house.
Are you a lot older than me then?
I'm 4 years older than you.
Right, so you would still have been... Yeah, that makes sense.
I remember in the late 80s, maybe it was 1989. Can you pay attention? You've brought this up, and I'm trying to make
some
radio.
Well, I used to work at Pizza Hut.
I think I had my first Pizza Hut in 89, because I remember I had it in the Metro Centre in
Newcastle.
I cannot
believe we've got to the stage now where no one's even listening to what I'm saying. I went around someone's house, and
it was a meat feast.
It was a Domino's.
Right.
First Domino's I've ever had. Yeah. It's got the semolina around
the
edge.
Cornmeal.
The dusting, cornmeal. And it's a game changer. I remember my first Papa John's because it was also my last Papa John's.
I hate Papa John's.
Me too.
Papa John's is fucking awful. If you're lucky enough to get a Papa John's without the filling smeared all over the inside of the box, then you're in for a fortnight of diarrhea.
Papa John's,
allegedly.
Papa John's is the worst fucking pizza. It's just absolutely disgusting. I hate his fucking face as he's there going like, oh, it's the best ingredients. Yeah, but look what you've done with those ingredients. Mm. Papa.
Pops.
Pops. Father John Misty.
Do you like him?
Papa? Nah.
No.
Papa John's.
I like him.
So Papa John's is the worst. Domino's is the best. Pizza Hut is...
It's fallen way behind.
But a Pizza Hut, I would only really have a Pizza Hut if I was having like a...
The buffet.
A retro buffet.
Yeah, that's what I quite fancy. It's those salads with bacon in or whatever
they've got. Yeah. I like the whole thing. I like the whole experience and a bottomless tango. Mm.
Yeah. Just actually, you know what? I want a pizza Hut now.
I'd have a pizza at buffet, but I wouldn't have it delivered. And then a Ferreza, if you're really,
pushing the boat out.
If you want to get some,
right,
then you say, hey, why don't you come over and have a Ferreza? Gluten free. So there's no bloating.
I was the only member of waiting staff at Pizza Hut Bexley Heath to get free 100% mystery shoppers in a row.
Wow.
So and you now they shut that store down. So.
And because you left.
Yeah.
No wonder.
Hang on, what's this bullshit?
I was a waiter in Pizza Hut for about 4 years when I was younger. And I got three 100% mystery shoppers in a row.
So you were perfect. It was a perfect...
Yeah.
How'd you be perfect?
Perfect visits. Perfect.
So you were really good at that?
I was really good at it as a waiter. I should have stuck at that.
That must be reassuring to know that you've always
got that to go back to. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I remember one of the first times I saw you in Edinburgh, you were dressed up as David Bowie handing out flyers.
I think I was just dressed as how I used to dress, and it might have looked a bit similar to what David Bowie might wear.
No, you had your face painted.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I might be thinking of someone else, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe it's David Bowie.
No.
And he didn't do Edinburgh, I don't think.
Did he not?
He might have done.
I think it was Timmy Manners.
Timmy Mallet?
Timmy Manners.
I remember Timmy Manners.
I don't.
He used to host the Electric Mouse.
He had his own gig. He was called Comedy on the Hill.
Sorry, guys. This has been...
is this on?
Please take solace.
I thought it was still that Mad Villain track playing.
Please take solace in the fact that it's Easter, it's Good Friday, and...
Goodwill to all men. Goodwill to all men.
You're probably doing something much better at the moment. It's odd.
please don't tell your friends about this one.
Don't tell your friends about this one. And if it is the first time you were thinking about giving us a review, maybe hold off to one of our...
I'd be interested to see what reviews this gets, actually.
It will just be people will go, I heard Fan Club, and we won't know which one.
Can we delete this one, Natalie, before it goes? Can we just delete it?
This is a pre-record. We don't actually have to release
this. We don't have to put this out, do we?
We'll just release the best of instead. Anyway, I'm filming Reluctant Landlord at the moment, so I'm all right. I'm just very busy, but this one is a disappointment. So
we can always do it. Get me and Nat could do it, if you want. Step out for half an hour.
Why don't you
redo this bit?
Oh, you mean Nat, as in Nathaniel?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was an option. I have come in on my day off to do this, and Nat did say to me 3 weeks ago that I was irreplaceable. So, in your face, Joey Page. Let's play this fucking game.
So the game, Joey, you have to say whether the next person is better or worse than the person before. All right, starting with Antonio Banderas.
Right.
Is Mick Hucknall better or worse than Antonio Banderas?
Better.
He's worse. It's entirely based on my own opinion.
I mean, they're both low cards.
No, they're not. Antonio Banderas is brilliant.
Yeah, Banderas is brilliant, yeah.
Colin Firth.
But I didn't know I didn't know. Are we judging on you?
Just my own opinion.
Right, okay. Can I start again?
Well, no.
It wasn't really explained to me.
All right, well, go right.
It wasn't explained.
Colin Firth, is he better or worse than Mick Hucknall?
Better.
Lettuce.
He is better, yeah. Is Mariah Carey better or worse than Colin Firth?
Worse.
She is worse. Is Keira Knightley better or worse than Mariah Carey?
Better.
Worse, I think. Probably worse.
Worse. Keira Knightley never sung All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Keira Knightley. Pierce Brosnan, better or worse?
Was it In Love Actually? Maybe
better.
Pierce Brosnan is better than Keira Knightley. Mm. Renée Zellweger, better or worse than Pierce Brosnan?
Worse.
I do
really
like
her.
She's a high card.
I like her. She's a really high card.
Laura Dern, better or worse than Renée Zellweger?
Better.
Better, yeah. Val Kilmer, better or worse than Laura Dern? Worse.
Ah.
Worse. Martin Freeman, better or worse than Val Kilmer?
Worse.
I'm going to say better.
No,
he's worse.
He's actually not.
Since he's done them Vodafone adverts, worse.
Have you seen that Island of Dr. Moreau thing?
I don't need to. It's worse. And I've seen The Doors recently, and you can't judge Val Kilmer negatively anymore.
I've got to say he's better.
He's incredible in that.
I've got to say he's better.
How many? Five? Is Val Kilmer better or worse than fucking Martin Freeman?
I'm going to say Martin Freeman is better.
No, that's incorrect.
Okay. You have your opinion there, mate.
It's my opinion. That's what it's based on. Five for Joey Page.
Five for Joey Page. Well, you didn't do bad there, Joey.
No, you did. Right.
I had a bad start.
You got five, and you're there in good company with Yasmin Akram, Rob Deering, Jack Barry, Bunny Galore, Taylor Glenn, and Katie Wilkins from the Drunk Women Solving
Crimes. No, that's
no,
four.
That's four.
Oh, no, you're in a small group there of Yasmin Akram and Rob Deering.
Yeah.
You're not as good as John Niven, Sian Harris with 10, Daniel Cook, Daniel Lawrence Taylor, Michael Legg, Solomon Gray with 9, Claudia Blakely, Jordan Brooks, Suze Kipner, Evelyn Mock, Paul F. Taylor, Rebecca Shorrocks, Mark Smith, Carl Theobald with 8, Hayley Carroll, Brett Goldstein, Tom Goodman, Hill, Charlie Higson, Matthew Holness, Jim Hoskin, Laura Lex, Esther Smith, Ian Smith, Josh Whittingham, Sean McLaughlin with 7, Drunk Women Solving Crime, Colin Holt, Andy Kindler, Marit Larwood, Lucy Porter, John Robbins, Richard Sandling, Mark Simmons, David Trent with 6, but you are better than Jack Barry, Bunny Galore, Taylor Glenn, and Katie Wilkins with 4, and Sam Ashurst with 3. You were in a double up with Sam Ashurst, weren't you?
No, he was my hype man.
That's all
in my
we've got time for this
hype
week.
Man.
Thank you for joining
hype
us.
Man at the beginning
Page.
Of my show.
thank you for joining us, and that's been it's been a lovely, delightful
it has
trip,
been.
Trip down memory lane. no, thanks for coming in.
No, thanks for having me.
And what's the name of your show?
It's too late for that, isn't it?
Well, Edinburgh's coming up, isn't it? It's close to that, probably.
Afterlife, which is a nightmare because there's already now a sitcom.
Is that Ricky Gervais sitcom?
Yeah. We'll be changing it. But stay tuned for regular updates on the name changes of Joey Page's new show.
Not on this show,
but probably Joey will be mentioning it on his
no,
own.
No, I don't talk about my comedy on the music show.
Crazy.
That's crazy. You'd think...
Okay.
Just came on our show to do it.
Yeah. 4 weeks early but late.
Okay. Happy Easter, guys.
Happy Easter,
happy
everyone.
Happy Easter.
I don't know what song I'm playing, but why are we playing Breakfast in Bed?
No, that's next one. Not that one.
That's for next week. So we don't have a song. A fucking.
Where's Ghostbusters?
We're just going to play Rhinestone Cowboy again, for fuck's sake.
Great
stuff.
Yeah, this is good.
Great stuff. Oh, yeah.
Hold a cold one like he hold a old gun, like he hold a microphone and stole the show for fun.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.